What I'm going to talk about today is submitting to love. Submission to love. And the Lord put this on my heart, giving me a little vision. But we'll go to Ephesians 5:20. And I'll actually start at 19. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And then finally, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And this application, or what I'm going to be talking about today, is not marital advice for us on this earth, but what this submission is talking about in a spiritual sense. And to give some context first, I want to just quickly jump over to Matthew 13:13. In Matthew 13:13, it says, Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So throughout the Word of God, he gives these examples alongside of what the actual meaning is, right? Parable itself means to throw alongside. So he's throwing these things alongside what his actual purpose is. And a lot of times he does that because, unfortunately, we're dummies. We don't get it sometimes. We need that parallel. We need that thing on the side to make our minds connect to it. And throughout the Word of God, there is the practical side of what is being explained, and then there's the spiritual side. And in 1 Corinthians 2:12, we'll go to 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that we are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So when we look at the Word of God, we have that practical side, which is good. That practical start, you know, those things, those fundamental things that are applied in our life in the physical. Practical, that's good. When we get past that practical good, we look at just giving it over to the Lord, presenting everything. That's acceptable. But we want that perfect, which is walking in that Spirit, in the Spirit. We want that perfect will of God in our lives. And we have to move past the practical. So this, when he's talking about wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, or submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, we're not talking about the practical side. We're talking about the spiritual side. So what is Jesus telling you today? So we'll go into this with that context. What is Jesus telling you today? Whenever we hear the Word of God, what is Jesus telling you today in the Spirit? So we'll look at this word submit. And submission, the definition of submit in the Greek, it's this word hupotasso. We're going to do some word stuff here. It's a Sunday school class, so we're going to get into the Strong's and talk about that. But this hupotasso is 40 times in the Word of God, which is that perfect testing. Again, that is that submission, that perfect testing, that submission. Hupotasso means to subordinate, to obey, to be under obedience, to submit self unto. And Thayer says that it's to yield to one's admonition or advice, to subject or be put in subjection. Now that word comes from two words, the prefix hupo, which means under, and the word tasso. That word tasso means basically to arrange in an orderly manner or ordain. So it's being set below. So that submission is a setting below. That word also means subject, which the definition is owing obedience or allegiance to the power or dominion of another, to make amenable to the discipline and control of a superior, to cause or to force or undergo or endure. It also means subjugate. And subjugate, that word, that the root of that, sub, again, under, jugate, or from this word, jugus, it means yoke. So it's being put under a yoke. And when I think about that, I think of his yoke. So even starting out here, we're looking at being appointed to be under, being ordained to be under, to be low, put under, but it's a yoke, it's his yoke. This is just the start of this submission. Now, this also means to obey. This obedience in the Greek, if we actually look back, that word is to listen or to hearken. So we have this hearing and obeying. So if we go to 1 Samuel 15, 22. In 1 Samuel 15, 22, it says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in... Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of the rams." There's a better part. There's a better part. This obedience and this hearing is more important. It's that best part. That word in the Hebrew, obey, it's not just a hearing and obedience. It's to hear intelligently. So now we're talking about understanding. You're not just hearing a sound, you're understanding. And you're hearing to respond. It's not just a sound that's going through the ears. It's actually taking something, understanding, and having the ability, the desire to move forward, to do something. In Deuteronomy 30:20, it says, "That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou may dwellest in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers." Now that was to the children of Israel before they were going into that promised land. We have that same promise. We're about to go into that promised land. "That thou mayest love the Lord God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life." Thank the Lord that this submission is not the base of what we understand it to be. It is hearing God. It is hearing him. And it's not just hearing noise, it's hearing the Lord and what he has for you. It's hearing, it's listening. It's taking this word and letting it work effectually in your heart and responding. And it's so important. Why is this hearing important? Romans 10:17, faith, it comes by hearing. There is no other way that faith comes. It comes by hearing. It comes by hearing the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what is the importance of hearing? It's so important. It's critical. So this submission, we're supposed to submit one to another. Wives, submit to your husbands. Again, in the spiritual sense, what is Jesus talking to you about today? This submission and this hearing, these things are intertwined together. They're woven together. And we have a perfect example of this submission. So Philippians 2:5. And Pastor was here last week, and it was an amazing, beautiful message. And I thank the Lord that we're getting it. I'm getting it. Philippians 2:5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ." This mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So again, we're talking about this perfect submission, this example. And again, we're never going to get to here in our own mind. We have to let this mind be in us, Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And that's the start. Do you hear what Jesus has called you to? Do you hear what he's called you to? My sister, my spouse. Do you hear what Jesus has called you to? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And knowing what you know, knowing what Jesus has called you to, knowing this word that the Lord has given to you freely, he's called you to hear this word, specifically this bridal message. He's called your heart out. He said, "You're mine." Knowing that position that he is calling you for, we don't exalt ourselves at all. We don't get puffed up. We glorify God that he's called you, that he's called me. I'm so thankful that he's called me. What can we do but praise him and thank him for all his mercy, for his grace, that he would choose us. In eternity's past, he would say, "You're the one. You're the one." Do you hear him today? Do you hear him today? You're the one. But in that, I understand that the things that I had done, my sin, it put him on the cross. But I'm not guilty of that. That's done. All I can be is thankful. That's done. That's finished. I am not guilty of that sin. I cannot commit sin. That is no longer part of my life. My life is Christ's. This humbling, this submission, this life is my life. and everything here, making himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, humbling himself, becoming obedient unto death. I don't do any of those things. This submission is not my own. It's not mine. I couldn't do it even if I tried. My self-humility, my meekness, my gentleness, those things of me, that's silliness. That's ridiculous. But what he has for me, that's glory. What he has for you, that's glory. He has glory for you. Let this mind be in you. Let it be in you. And that wasn't the end. The death of the cross wasn't the end. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. What is he taking that submission and turning it into? It's beauty. He makes everything beautiful in his own time. In our lives. So why did he submit this way? Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew fully what was going to happen and submitted to the Father. Let's turn over to Luke 22:42. That's Luke 22:42. And just thinking about our Lord and how he loves us. Luke 22:42, it says, Father, this is Jesus. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He knew. He knew what the Father had for him. This submission that he had wasn't a blind submission, just handing it over and saying, whatever happens, happens. He knew. I think our experience with submission. And sometimes there are those moments where we're just like, there's that song, Jesus, Take the Wheel, you know? And we close our eyes and, Lord, hopefully you're driving. And hopefully you don't actually do that. I've heard of some people doing that. And, Lord, keep them safe. But don't do it, please. But that shouldn't be our life. And that isn't our life. That we just close our eyes and say, Jesus, take it. Even though he will do that. He's called us to know him. He's called us to know him. To know the breadth and the length and the depth and height. And to be filled with all the fullness. He's called us to know him fully. To go into this knowing. When Gideon was called with his 300. those 300, it was getting whittled down, right? There's thousands had been responded to the call to fight. And it had to be fewer. God had to cut it down. The last cutting down to get down to the number that God was going to work with, those 300. The last thing that the Lord tested it with was drinking water. And there was two ways to do it. One way, they got down on their knees. They went down all the way to the water, and they went down and they drank it. And you could say that's submission, submitting directly to that water. And that other way, they kneeled down and they plunged their hand into the water and they brought it to their mouth. And they kept their eyes aware of everything that was around them. And you could look at those two things, and maybe in the physical you could say, you know, those ones that really kneeled down and submitted to it and just went right to it, those were the ones. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted the ones that were ready, that plunged their hand into the word and brought it to their mouth and were aware of what was going on and knew and were ready. He wanted those to be fully aware. And that's our life today. He wants us to know him. And I think about in these submission times, in these times that we submit, and that word of God, I think, just has continued from that patience that God has for us. When we have to submit to this plan that God has, when we have to submit to him, we have this, like, need for preservation sometimes. We want to hold on to things. It's kind of hard to, like, fully give over to the Lord. Like, maybe we've built something up. Maybe we feel our lives are, you know, there's something going on in our lives. It's a good thing, Lord. You've made a good thing. We have this need to preserve these things. And the Lord showed me the city, Jerusalem. And I think about all God had made to build up that city. How he took his people out of captivity, led them through the desert, brought them into the promised land. Built up this thing that was beautiful. The walls, the city, it was living. This temple, all this beauty that the Lord had into that Jerusalem. He destroyed that. He took it all away. We have the example of our Lord Jesus, this man that God sent to earth, this perfect man that could do nothing wrong, that lived a perfect life. This perfect man, our God, living amongst us. Beautiful. Beautiful. Maybe not to look on. What did he do? What did the Father send his Son to do? That life, that perfect life, became sin who knew no sin. For me. So what won't God do for us? If he's willing to do those things, that beautiful city, done. His Son freely given. All of it. for your life, for your purpose, to bring you to Him, to love you. And yes, for you to hear Him. He did all that for you just to hear Him. To hear His voice. He took away all that physical thing. He took it all away for you. So what is He trying to say to you? His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. This physical body, this everything, it's going to be gone. But just like that city, what did God leave us with? What came out of that beautiful city, Jerusalem? His word. His word. That remained. And ultimately, He wants us just to rest in that submission. It's part of that patience. Patiently waiting. Hebrews 4:9, it says, I'll turn there. Hebrews 4:9. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Today he wants us to know that we don't have to work at this submission. We don't have to work it. I think a lot of times in my life I've tried to work it. Try to figure it out. All right, God, let's go. Let me get in this word. I'm going to figure it out. All these troubles, all these problems I'm having, I got to figure it out. I'm going to work it. I'm going to work this word. It doesn't work like that, right? He just wants us to rest. Even God, the Father, is resting. Everything He's put into His Son. 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 Do you hear Him today? Everything He's put into His Son. We can enter that same rest. He wants us to submit to it. And this hearing is all about this hearing, this submission, this obedience. It's all about His voice. When His voice is calling us. Song of Solomon's. Let's go ahead and turn over there. Song of Solomon 2:8. And this is Him today. This is Jesus today. This is Jesus today. Hear Him. This is Jesus today. The voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. This is Jesus today. Do you hear Him? He's leaping. The joy that He has for you is just, there's nothing that compares to the joy that He has for you right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not afar off. It's not later on. It's right now. This joy is right now. He's leaping on the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He loves you. He loves you completely. He loves you fully. He's after you. He's after your heart. He's after you. Hear him. Hear his voice. Hear his excitement for you. He's leaping over the mountains. He's coming after you. Today, 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 today. And our Father just wants us to do one thing. Matthew 17:5. It says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Will you hear what he has for you today? This is all his, this submission, this obedience, this hearing. We can just simplify it down. Do you believe what Jesus said to you? Just simply, do you believe today? Do you believe what Jesus has said to you? Over and over again in the Word of God, do you believe what Jesus is saying to you? He said, I love you. I love you. I love you. Do you believe him that he loves you? He said, I will perfect that which concerns you. Do you believe it? He said that he wants you as his bride. Do you believe it? So this submission, it's just hearing him. And our response is just believing him. That faith that worketh by love, it's his love. It's his mercy. It's his grace. We oftentimes overcomplicate things because we do want to work it. We do want to dive in there and figure it all out. And we get in there and just mess it all up. I think when I was a kid, I had like a video game console and I, you know, the game wasn't working. So probably what I should have done is just like what we were supposed to do is just like take the cartridge out and like blow on it or whatever because there's dust. But I'm like, I'll fix it. And I took the whole thing apart. Took all the screws out, got everything apart and looked at it and it was, all the pieces were everywhere. Wires were everywhere, and then it was a giant mess, and I thought to myself, oh, I'll fix it again. I'll fix it twice. So I put it back together, and there were some pieces missed, like still out, and sure enough, it didn't work. That's us in our flesh. That's us trying to figure it out. That's us trying to reason with God when all he wants us just to do is to hear him, to hear his voice, to hearken. To believe him. And when he says this thing, when he says this in Ephesians, submitting yourselves to one another, we can hear him and believe him for ourselves. But do we hear him and believe him for others? Do I hear him and believe him for your life? Because it's not your life. I know you're in Christ. I know that Jesus has you. And you have Jesus. Will I believe the Lord for your life? That submission. Will I accept that God's plan is perfect for you? What he has for you, he's thought about. How many times? How many times has he thought about his plan for you? For your life? And I'm going to try and think about your life and maybe compare or figure out something for you or figure out how I should deal with you or maybe I'm frustrated or whatever it might be. Come on. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your thoughts are not my thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that the submission in my heart, the ability to submit myself to you as my sister, to you as my brother, that's not me. That's not my life. That's Jesus' life. And he is telling us to trust him for one another, to believe him for one another, to edify one another, to love one another, to love one another, to love one another. Will you submit to that love? Will you submit to the love of God? Not just for your life, because that is perfect. He's calling us to submit. To hear him for our brother's life. To hear him for our sister's life. To trust him. To trust him in it. To not lean on our own understanding. But to look to him. To look to his voice. To look to his word. To look to what he has to say for us. To trust him in it. Again, we're not talking about physical things. We're talking about spiritual things. So not only, again, is he saying, trust me for their life, what I see on the outward. What's more important? Why do we even focus on that outward? Why do we focus on that outward man? We can fellowship together, spirit to spirit, today. We can fellowship in Jesus today. We can encourage one another in our hearts today. Right now, I can encourage you. You can encourage me today in Jesus Christ. But we can't do it if we're just like focused on the outward appearance. Things are going to look bad all the time. if we focus on this outward appearance, if we focus on all the things that are happening in our lives, it looks bad. I'll trust the Lord for this. I don't think that there's one life in here that looks perfect. And I know that, actually. I know that Jesus, we are so flawed. And thank the Lord that we're flawed. Because without that, he wouldn't be able to come in. And we would not be able to hear him. Without those flaws, without those infirmities, without those things going wrong in our life, we would not hear his word. Do you believe that? The failures in my life have been the biggest times of growth with my Lord. The times where I cannot do anything has been the times when he's done everything. So hear him today. If I'm thinking about this submission, in just the base sense, hear him. Hear him, saints. Hear him. Hear him today. Hear him tomorrow. He's speaking to you always. Hope it's been a blessing.